In 1952, the Japanese government sent out a handful of research vessels to investigate the formation of a new island, formed through undersea volcanic eruptions in the Nampobonin island chain south of Japan. Among these research vessels was a ship named the Kaiomaru No. 5, with a crew of 31 on board. The sea was calm and visibility was good, so you can imagine the alarming questions it raised when the ship and its crew weren't responding to communication attempts. Rescue vessels found the ship's wreckage floating among pieces of pumice, with no trace of the crew around. The theory was that the Kaiomaru had arrived after all the other research vessels had left the designated site, when the crew felt trembles throughout the ship. Giant bubbles rose to the surface, bursting against the hull of the ship, when at the end, a terrible eruption destroyed the Kaiomaru completely. The captain and crew sent no distress signal, just disappearing without a trace in the middle of the sea. What was strange was that if the crew of the Kaiomaru had been killed by the eruption, there was no human remains reported to be seen among the wreckage. This area in the Philippine Sea is bounded by the central coast of Japan, Manila, and Guam, and remains a bit of a mystery to this day. Now, why is this region of the Pacific Ocean so feared? In the past, maps of that section of the sea indicated that they were infested by dragons, giving rise to its name, Mano Umi, or the Devil's Sea. We can say that these deadly underwater volcanoes can directly explain the Eastern mythology of sea dragons, but looking beyond that reveals something about the relationship between humans and the sea. No matter where you're from in this world, we can all agree that the ocean is an immense mystery, enough to scare even the bravest of us.
Welcome to Curious Tales, a podcast where we explore unexplained and strange stories in the region of Southeast Asia.
The voyage was going smoothly for the crew of the Elmax Exchange. They were in a race with other yachts between Australia and Vietnam, and little stood in their way besides rough winds and choppy seas. As they were sailing on, something on the horizon caught their attention. It appeared to be a smaller yacht, aimlessly bobbing against the waves. As they approached the boat, they could see its broken mast dipping into the water. They were hundreds of miles from land, and fearing that fellow sailors aboard might be marooned because of their damaged sails, they decided to put their journey on hold and investigate the idle ship. The helmsman turned the boat around and slowly crept up behind the vessel, which he could now see was named the Soya. A volunteer from the exchange dove into the water, swam up to the boat, and pulled himself up from what appeared to be stepladders bound to the steps of the stern. The vessel seemed abandoned for the most part, and the man called out and yelled into the cabin below, "Nobody on board?" He lowered his head to look inside, and immediately swore out loud. What he saw was a shape of a man, slumped over a tabletop in the far corner, completely still. But what frightened the sailor was more likely the state that the man was in. He looked like he had turned to stone. Shockingly, after the sailors reported the incident to the authorities, the Soya was left adrift out at sea for over another month before finally being rediscovered by a Philippine fishing crew off the coast of Mindanao. It turns out that the man they had found was 59-year-old Manfred Bajorat, and the reason for his stony appearance was because his body had naturally mummified after death due to the hot and humid sea air. An autopsy of his remains was conducted and concluded that Manfred had suffered a heart attack. He was lying next to his radio, leading some to speculate that he may have been trying to make one final desperate attempt at calling for help. Among his belongings on the ship were old photographs of the life he had before he began his 20-year trip around the world, and a short note that was addressed to his wife, Claudia. You see, they had been separated in 2008, after years at sea together. 2 years later, in 2010, Claudia eventually passed away from cancer in Martinique, France. 30 years we've been together on the same path, the note read. then the power of the demons was stronger than the will to live. You're gone. May your soul find its peace. Your Manfred. The sea is like the desert. It's much more difficult to track and trace what goes on when there's no sign of civilization for miles. So understandably, the Australian authorities were baffled at this seemingly impossible mystery they stumbled upon in 2003. On the 4th of January that year, the crew of the Bombardier de Havilland -8 sighted a fishing vessel near the Raleigh shores in the northwestern Australian Sea. The plane was on a routine surveillance mission, on alert for any illegal activity in the area. Paul McCoy, an Australian Customs Service official, said that the deck of the boat was empty, with no crew in sight. The vessel was cruising along calmly along the waters, its engine still operational. As it was a foreign ship in Australian waters, the plane crew proceeded to alert the authorities in Canberra. On the 9th of January, an Australian Navy ship called the Stuart spotted the ship again and decided to board it. They had no idea the confounding rabbit hole they were about to get lost in. The boat, identified as the High Aim 6, was completely deserted. The engine was dead, and the rudder was locked in place. With plenty of fuel and provisions left behind, and no sign of a struggle could be found, investigators were stumped. Looking into its voyage history, Australian authorities determined that the boat left Taiwan on October 31st, 2002, with Captain Chen Tai Cheng and engineer Lin Chung Lee. They docked at a port in Bali, Indonesia, where they picked up a crew of 8 locals. The exact port where the boat docked remains unknown, with the only lead the Australian authorities had being a number of phone calls made by the engineer. After that, it was presumed that the crew headed to the Marshall Islands to commence with their fishing mission. Inside the abandoned vessel, a carton of Marlboro cigarettes, a jar of Nescafe, and a pair of the captain's reading glasses sat in the wheelhouse. A traditional Chinese tear-off calendar hung from the wall. The date on it was January 3, 2003, 6 days before the boat was boarded by Australian authorities. Theories had been thrown around as to how the crew of the High Aim 6 could have disappeared without a trace, but none could be definitively proven. Initial speculation was that the boat had been part of a people smuggling operation, but was put to rest by the fact that the hold was filled with rotting fish and had no place to hide passengers. Weather at sea was calm in the weeks leading up to the discovery of the ship, so the possibility of a storm was ruled out. The boat was also said to not have had a life raft on board, so the crew couldn't have just abandoned ship for no reason. Mutiny was next on the theory table, but the lack of any signs of struggle said otherwise. According to Craig Kennedy, a ship impound operator, if there had been a mutiny, the Indonesian crew would have stripped the boat of everything valuable, including the echo sounder for locating fish, radar gear, and a GPS system. But there was one thing missing though, and that was the high-frequency radio. And that leads to the most compelling theory of all, pirates. If pirates did board the High Aim, they would have prevented the crew from calling for help from other nearby ships. In that area between Indonesia and Australia, pirates have been known to be especially active, but the question comes back to the absence of looting involved, which pirates are known to do. And so the more they investigated, the more questions they had than answers. Sometimes the sea, it seems, keeps more hidden than we will ever know. It was a clear day in February 1948, and the seas of the Straits of Malacca were calm. The ships in the area were going about their day when they suddenly picked up what sounded like a distress signal from a Dutch merchant ship. The signal was repeating the message SOS, SOS in Morse code. Then came a short silence, followed by a longer message. All officers, including captain, dead, lying in chart room and on bridge. Probably whole crew dead. This was followed by a series of unintelligible dots and dashes in Morse code, which couldn't be deciphered. But the next message was the most spine-chilling of all. "I die," it read. An American vessel, the Silver Star, managed to locate the vessel first and began to attempt a rescue. The ship was mostly intact, with no signs of damage, but it was the eerie sight of what they found on board that was surely to give them nightmares long after. There, on the decks of the ship, were the corpses of the crew laying with their backs to the ground. They appeared to be frozen, hands raised in the air, eyes staring, and faces with the expressions of, quote, convulsive horror. The captain lay dead on the bridge, and the bodies of the other officers lay sprawled in the wheelhouse, chart room, and the wardroom. The ship's dog, a small terrier, lay on the ground in the same way the other corpses were, baring its teeth in agony. The radio officer, who had been the one sending out the distress signals, lay slumped in his chair, his hand still on the sending key. There were no signs of injury or wounds on any of the bodies on board. After a tense discussion, the boarding parties decided to tow the ghost ship back to the nearest port. But a few moments later, smoke and flames began to bellow from the hold of the ship. The fire spread quickly and was reportedly impossible to subdue. A terrific explosion followed, and with that final nail in the coffin, the ship sank into the sea and has never been found to this day. There are theories of a ship-wide poisoning incident from an accidental leak of a lethal gas on board. But as the ship now sits at the bottom of the ocean, there's no way to know for sure. The story seems like something out of an urban legend, something you tell to scare your friends when you find yourself out on the ocean on holiday. Some even question if it ever happened, with no mention in records from that time of an incident like that, and no record of the Silver Star attempting a rescue. But an official CIA document was released in 2003 that told of the same fate to befall a ship of the same name. I'm not kidding. You can look it up with a quick Google search. The letter was written in 1959 by C.H. Mark Jr. of Scottsdale, who identified himself as the assistant to the director, presumably the then director of the CIA, Alan Dulles. The document speculates that similar incidents and other unsolved mysteries at sea were followed by sightings of, quote, fiery spheres that rise from the waters below. The reports were apparently from ship crews in the 18th and 19th centuries. It's peculiar to have a government intelligence organization speculate about such unbelievable notions. But it's clear that there's one thing we can agree on. There's a feeling within us that wants to believe in a vast sea, full of wonder and mystery. And the name of this mysterious ghost ship? The SS Arang Maydan. If you've ever lived at sea, you would know how it can appear to be another world altogether. The absence of solid ground, the slow rocking back and forth, the clear horizon line in the distance. It can make one wonder what other uncharted realms of the earth have we as humans not yet explored. But with exploration comes risk, risk of unknown forces we may end up at the mercy of. In our connected world today, we still look at the sea as something not to be underestimated. Even with our sophisticated equipment and extended knowledge, the ocean remains ever unpredictable.
Thank you for listening to Curious Tales. This episode was researched and made by Ian Quack. If you would like to suggest peculiar and strange stories you might know within Southeast Asia, whether historical or present day, you can get in touch via Facebook or Instagram at The Curious Tales. Please subscribe to this podcast to continue to enjoy new stories. And we'll see you next time, as always, for another Curious Tale.